Now, here's a topic that could alarm you. It should. There is renewed alarm about the possibility of an EMP attack, electromagnetic pulse on the United States because of Iran's work on a multi-stage space launch vehicle. And experts forecast if such an attack were a success, it effectively would toss the U.S. back into the age of just agriculture. In a moment, an expert on EMP attack, William Forstchen, joins us, author of One Second After on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, let me tell you about our guest who will be with us for a couple hours tonight. We will take calls with William Forstchen next hour, professor of history and faculty fellow at Montreat College in North Carolina. He received his doctorate from Purdue with specializations in military history, the American Civil War, and the history of technology. His current book, One Second After, he was with me back in November as we talked about this, cited on the floor of Congress and before the House Armed Services Committee by Congressman Roscoe Bartlett of Maryland, a chair of the House Committee, tasked to evaluate EMP weapons. And here's William Forstchen. Hey, Bill, welcome back. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Always a pleasure. Good. For the benefit of those who do not know what EMP is, electromagnetic pulse, tell us.
EMP, shorthand for electromagnetic pulse. There's several different ways it can be generated. When we're focusing on the military issue, you take a small, let me always emphasize, not a high-grade megatonnage weapon, but a small atomic weapon in the 40 to 80 kiloton range, detonated about 200 miles above your target, and in the instant of detonation, the gamma ray burst coming off of the bomb would hit the upper atmosphere. As it does so, it sets up something called the Compton effect. It's sort of like a giant sheet lightning that then cascades down to the Earth's surface. I always say it's like a pebble rolling downhill, triggering an avalanche. Once it hits the Earth's surface, now remember, this all happens in that first billionth of a second, every antenna, every stretch of wire, any conductive surface, picks up the electrical overload, feeds it through the system, and as the title of my book says, one second after, you've blown out pretty well the entire power grid of the United States.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Now, will the pulse itself kill people?
No. That's a question. It's a darn good question, because those of us who grew up during the Cold War, of course, remember the whole thing of duck and cover. I was just showing that to my students a couple of days ago, of atomic blasts destroying cities. Well, we're in a new kind of paradigm now. And the paradigm is that a nation like Iran or North Korea, with just two or three small warheads detonated above the United States, the bomb itself would not kill anybody. In fact, while you and I are talking, if this event happened, we might notice a flash in the sky for a split second, but that would be it. It's the after effects. Wherever any of our listeners are, the first question I would ask them is, where did your water come from this morning or right now while you're listening to this show? For 999 out of 1,000, it's through some electrical pumping system. What happens to your sewerage? What happens to your medical supplies, et cetera?
Your ATM, everything.
Everything
goes.
And then the vast, elaborate infrastructure we have built up over the last 100 years is turned off, and it will not turn on. And according to Congressman Bartlett's commission, the reports issued in 2004, another one in 2008, it's estimated that upwards of 90, I always had to emphasize that number, 90% of all Americans will be dead a year later.
Jeez. 90%, William?
90%.
Now, and that is a military EMP. We also could get hit with some kind of a solar flare, can't we?
Oh, yeah. My book's been out for over a year now. And I'll openly admit that while I was working on it, I was somewhat aware of the issue of what a major solar storm could do. But it wasn't until shortly after my book was released that a friend called me up and says, my gosh, Bill, you've got to read a book called The Sun Kings. If I'm going to push somebody else's book tonight, I'd do that. The title of the book is The Sun Kings. The author's name is Clark. It's an award-winning book. It's actually, some people would think, rather dry. It's about 19th century solar astronomy. But he talks about an event that we now call the Carrington event. When in 1859, a major solar flare observed by the British astronomer Carrington when the storm hit the Earth's atmosphere, it blew out the Victorian internet. Telegraphy systems in England and Northeast United States, the wires literally melted off the poles. Railroad ties picking up the burned from the charge going through the rails. And if a storm of that intensity can blow out something that we would define today as so overbuilt, imagine what it would do to the delicate electronics we're so dependent on.
So it's an act of war if the Iranians do this or the North Koreans, mm-hmm. and then it's just bad luck if the sun gets us, huh?
Well, the solar scenario could be infinitely worse because, okay, let's say you want to take down the power grid of the entire planet. To EMP it militarily would require quite a few dozen weapons.
Right.
A solar storm, particularly one of an intensity that lasted for 24 to 36 hours, could do the exact same thing. And now...
Well, and with an EMP, though, Bill, there's a retaliation effect here. Our subs would probably launch. If there's one from the sun, you can't attack another country over it, right?
It's a natural phenomenon, but for those of us trying to survive afterwards, does it really matter in one sense? Is it military? Is it a solar storm or what? Well, yeah, psychologically it would matter to us, but the end result would be we'd be looking at our families starving to death and most of the planet dying off within a year.
It will be the side that is facing the sun that gets the brunt of that, right?
Right. However, let's say we go to a storm, an ejected mass that hits us for 24 to 36 hours.
All right. That's constant, then.
You've got through a full rotation of the Earth.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Since we last talked in November, what's been going on with the military fear of EMPs and what's going on with the solar fear? I mean, what are we doing about the grid and what's going on politically?
You know, I hate like heck to really upset your listeners this morning. I wish I could say, you know, George, thank God for people like you and others who have picked this up. And boy, there is action going on, et cetera, et cetera. And my response is hit your delete button now, blank, blank, nothing. Our governmental response has been almost zero, other than the fact that a bill to begin preliminary hardening of our infrastructure is, I am told, now out of committee. So while we've been arguing about all these other issues politically, as a fine young lady in my life says, what the hell good is health care reform or anything else if there's no country left to do
yeah.
it to?
I'm going to make a prediction, William, based on after you and I talked and I started doing a lot more research into this. I don't know yet what's going to happen with Iran and North Korea, whether we attack Iran or something happens there. But I will tell you, I believe that this planet's going to get hit by an X flare. We dodged one a couple of years ago, and I'm telling you, it's a matter of time. I don't know whether the Mayans knew something or not. As we get close to 2012, the sun has been unusually quiet. I don't think that's going to last forever. And when it starts to rumble again, you know, heaven help us. I think we're going to get hit by one. And the big question is going to be what side gets it if it's not a continuous burst, like you said. And I think we're going to be up the creek. That's my prediction.
And I would be the first to say you are dead on right. You have hit it exactly. I was at you and I, but a lot of folks have been to these conferences. You go to academic conferences, some guy presents a paper. And you always got somebody in the audience who has to prove I know more than you. And at the end, we'll stand and say, hey, page 7 of your paper, footnote 17, you're crazy. I was at a conference in Niagara shortly before the last time you and I talked, in which some experts on the whole solar issue presented their report. And it was a room that was dead silent at the end, other than, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
As one of the people reporting stated, he said, I cannot give you statistical probability or analysis on a military scenario, but I can tell you this. I predict that within our lifetime, it is almost certain we will be hammered by a major EMP event that is solar, and that's the end of the game.
Let's take this hour to split it into two EMP events. One is the military possibilities. The one is the solar. and then get some recommendations from you, William, on what you think we should do as a nation and what we should do as a planet as well. And the next hour, we'll just take some time fielding some phone calls with you. The military scenario could really be just about any country that has the capability. It could be China, could be Russia, could be North Korea, Iran, once they get it, it could be them. Of all of them, which one is the one you fear the most that could possibly do this?
Well, let me click off the one I fear the least at the moment.
All right.
You and I are, I believe, the same age.
I will be 60 in June.
And I will be 60 in October.
Happy birthday.
It's startling, isn't it?
Don't wish me one. I don't want to see
it. I don't want to hear it either. And on the day that that birthday comes, I don't even want to talk to anybody. But you and I both grew up with it. Duck and cover, all of that.
Fallout shelters.
Dr. Strangelove.
Alarms in school, all that stuff.
My father was a civil defense director for our town. I went around in that funny-looking hat. But there was something called mutual assured destruction. Remember that? MAD?
Yes. Yep.
Which came down to, we said to the Soviets, and they said to us, listen, buddy, if you want to do it, fine, but we'll do it back to you, and who the heck wins at the end?
Yeah, that's right. We both lose. We've both annihilated each other. Do you really want to do that? And that was the checks and balances.
You got it. And as long as, and as I often say to folks, thank God the Russians were allegedly atheists because they wanted to inherit something to pass on to their kids. They didn't want a smoking ruin any more than we did.
Exactly.
Well, when you're dealing with a lunatic state, and there's no other way of defining it, and I'm not saying that about many of the people in that trapped in Iran who wish to overthrow the government.
Many of the Iranian people, as you know, William, love the United States.
Yes, they do.
I mean, they love to live like the West. The women do. The younger women, they don't wear the, you know, the garb and the veil. They want to be Americanized.
Now, if you want to set a college audience off quicker than anything, just plug up a YouTube video called How to Beat Your Wife.
How to Beat Your Wife?
How to Beat Your Wife. Yeah, just when the show's over, folks, you know, go on the Internet, click on it. And you'll be looking at radical clerics giving you detailed instruction on how to beat your wife or how young is too young to consummate your marriage. The general consensus is 5 years old.
Jesus.
Now, show that to a group of college girls and say, all right, ladies, what do you think? How many feminists in this room?
Yeah. You don't have to be a feminist to be a poster.
No, you just have to be a normal human being to go, this is perverted, sick, and insane. And the vast majority of folks trapped in Iran ever since the insane revolution that took them over under Ayatollah Khomeini long for the same things we do. And the biggest one, of course, is just some safety and peace.
Oh, are you saying that the Iranians are the ones you fear the least?
Yes.
How come?
Well, you mentioned it in the opening. They are aggressively working towards a very effective multi-stage launch system. They've got the technology. And using that, launching 1 to 3 missiles, 20 minutes later, you've pretty well annihilated the United States. Now, it's going to take us a year to die, but according to some of their clerics and their leader, well, we have fulfilled prophecy. So we're going to get our 70 girlfriends. Go ahead and blow us up. To hell with you. Because that's where you're going to go.
I'm a little confused, though. I mean, I asked you if you said you feared them the least, and you said yes.
Oh, no, I fear them the most.
All right.
The Russians.
Okay, there's your clarification. Yeah. All right.
Going back to the Cold War, well, we used to all fear the Russians. Well, with the Russians, it was always like, hey, listen, guys, we'll retaliate, so let's not do this. The Iranians, retaliation might not necessarily be the answer. And even was, what do we do? So we kill every innocent person in Iran. It doesn't deter them.
No.
It doesn't change the paradigm, and their leadership will be in bunkers thousands of feet deep. Shouting God is great. Now we get our girls.
Well, something's going to happen there before they get this weapon. You know that.
Let's hope so.
You know that. Do you think, and let me ask you this politically. I mean, because they are looking for a reason to go into Iran, whether it's they're building a bomb or whatever, we know EMPs are real. We know the possibilities could exist. But are they going to use this as an excuse to get the Iranians?
Possibly.
Okay.
One of my great frustrations on this, an analogy I like to give is, if I'm hearing gunfire coming from my neighbor's yard every day, and I'm peeking over the fence, and he's got a picture of me, and he's shooting at it, I think I better start doing something right now. Sending him a little note saying, gee, can we negotiate about shooting at my picture? If he's that crazy, I think we have to take a lot.
Well, and if you heard him at night talking in his backyard that he was going to take William Forstgen out.
Talking to the sky.
Talking to the sky.
Yes. Yeah.
You got to assume the guy means it.
Yes. So you got to just keep sending them little letters or little text messages. Can't we be friends? You know, let's love our neighbor.
Now, this is what I find interesting. Never before in the history of this country have we been verbally threatened, all right? We can destroy the West. Israel should be taken off the map.
Or we're going to rain nuclear death on you?
Yeah, and then nothing's been done. You know, back in the 50s or World War II in that era, if somebody had made that kind of a threat, we would have gone in instantly, don't you think?
Yes, particularly after we uncovered all that we did at the end of World War II. But do recall in the 30s, the Jews will be wiped from the face of the earth. Oh, no. The Germans, they will never do that.
They won't do that.
No. Or from the Chinese side.
One sick man who then pulled together a group of other sick leaders with him, mm-hmm. pulled it off.
And an entire nation that was considered the most brilliant light of Western culture and civilization, went into the darkest hell and has carried a moral responsibility ever since and at least faced up to it. But when they came out of the nightmare, there were millions of Germans who were like, what did we do? Oh, my God.
Would you be thinking differently if the Iranians weren't spouting their hate, spouting their rhetoric, talking about destruction? Maybe now the story I had in my first hour, they may be hiding bin Laden in Tehran. Mm-hmm. If they weren't doing all these things, but instead acted like a nation of humanity, that would be different, wouldn't it? Would you still?
You hit it again. Absolutely yes, because we would be dealing with a rational system.
Yep.
That values the same things we do of what's the most important thing in all of our lives? We want to pass a safe world on to our kids.
I mean, I really believe that had they played this smart, they could have got their nuclear power plants and everything up and running. It would have been sanctioned by the UN and everything would have been fine for them. But no, they had to come at it from this method of evil and I think here's the other possibility. It could yank us into a third world war.
A third world war scenario would be the inevitable after effect of any kind of EMP strike and also any kind of EMP scenario. When we go to solar as well, it will eventually result in a war. We are dealing with an irrational, by any modern definition, a completely irrational system. How to beat your wife? Let's consummate marriages at the age of 5. We're going to fulfill prophecy by killing all the Jews and wiping out the great Satan of the United States. That is talked out of an insane asylum.
Yeah, that and little muffled SUV bomb in Times Square was nothing compared to what this could be. Now, William, next up then, let's talk about the sun and what could happen there in the next half hour on Coast to Coast AM. And our special guest for the next couple hours, William Forstgen, as we talk about EMPs, the possibility of an EMP attack or a solar storm EMP scenario. We'll be back with him in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Now, with the solar storm, William, EMP scenario, what can we do in terms of insulating the grid? Can we do any of that?
Absolutely, yes. We could have been doing it all along. And there are several levels of preparedness on this. When I was a kid growing up in Jersey, you know, go outside in the morning and you'd see the little spider webs that the spiders would make in the lawn.
Yep.
And of course, being a little boy, what did you do? I went and struck a match. All right. The destructiveness of an 8-year-old can be terrifying.
See, I would have gone to get a camera to take a picture of the beauty of that.
Well, I might have taken some photos of the event happening and then do some voiceover of it if video cameras were around then.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That spider, if it survived the day, well, it had to spin another web. Well, suppose the spider had a dozen. Hey, if we're going to build webs in Fortune's backyard, let's fireproof a dozen threads. How much easier is the rebuild going to be? Infinitely easier.
Yeah.
We cannot, realistically, within the next decade, harden our entire system. But we can start laying out hardening of parts of the system, very crucial parts, that would significantly cut down the repair time. And at that conference I mentioned, the one in Niagara, back in the autumn, another report that just spooked everybody was an analysis of the top 400 generating systems in the eastern half of the United States. 80% would still be offline 4 years later. Reason why? Guess what? Who makes all the replacement parts?
Yeah.
Exactly. We don't make them anymore.
We don't make any of that.
So if we're dealing with a solar event, you're going to see a worldwide scramble to get the replacement parts, and then that turns into a military scenario. We do know replacement parts are being made in China. Are they gladly going to say, oh, gosh, our dear friends, we'll start shipping the stuff over to you tomorrow?
If there is a solar scenario, does anybody attack afterwards when a nation is crippled?
I think that's a given. That is an absolute given. If we look at any point in history where suddenly there was an acute shortage that became a life and death situation, it's take it from your neighbor.
Yeah.
So let us say, let's just take country X. I don't want to point at one country in particular at the moment, but we'll just say country X that has a rapid rebuild capability or has sufficiently hardened and has a spare part. And we say, hey, we need some of those parts. And it's like, oh, yeah? Well, what's the price? You're into a war situation within a matter of days.
And there will be wars over water?
There already are. I mean, let's go back to the first books of the Bible. Yes, water supply, food, all of the fundamental things just to keep us alive for a matter of weeks or months. Months become issues of war. They have been throughout the history of humanity. So how are we any different today?
Explain how the power grid functions in this country.
In post-EMP?
Yes.
When it is not just the generating plant, it is the incredibly elaborate relay system from going from your generating plant to switching on the light in my kitchen. If we go back 60, 80 years and look at how that was built and designed, I refer to them as Frankenstein switches. Remember in the old Frankenstein movie
toggle switches, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. Manually pulled switches and such. All that has become digitalized. All of that is now dependent on highly, highly delicate systems that, yes, are insulated to a certain degree, but not proof against a large EMP event. All of that has to be replaced. One of the very vulnerable parts are the hundreds of thousands of miles of high tension lines because of their length. Remember, your ratio of area, of square footage area, is increased dramatically with the high tension lines between relay shutoff systems. I saw some photos and video of a test on what would happen at your typical high tension tower. The wires explode off of the ceramic insulators. So you got hundreds of thousands of miles of distribution system that are down as well in the United States, going all the way back to your first switchings coming out of your generating system. All of them are gone. So where do you start your rebuild process? So let's say we get the generator back online in a matter of a couple of days. Well, you still got to get the product, electricity, all the way out to where I'm sitting going, hey, guys, I need water now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and there's total chaos then.
I went through in the early 1990s when I was in grad school at Purdue. We were hit by what they call the once in 500 year event of an ice storm. And here I was in what was a fairly large metropolitan area, Lafayette, Indiana, with a large university. My house was down for 11 days. And thank goodness Purdue had its own generating system. So a lot of us wound up living on the campus. It was in the middle of the winter. It was cold.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you know, the solar flares scenario, EMP scenario, it could happen in winter, summer, at any time.
Sure. I was doing an interview a while back with out of a station in Phoenix, and they're going, in today's forecast, we'll have a comfortable low of 85 and a high of 113. And when we got back online, I was like, guys, what happens if Phoenix loses air conditioning for 48 hours? How many people will die in the first 48 hours?
So you believe the scenario, military versus solar, do you think it's going to be the solar event as I do that happens first, or do you think it might be military action?
I can't make a prediction on that. Again, going back to the one report that I so often cite, asked me to do an analysis on military. Well, personally, Bill Portion here feels the probability is very high and rapidly increasing because of what Iran is doing. It could be very much a first strike against us at the same time that they decide to go at Israel. And by the way, the Israeli system is incredibly hardened against an EMP situation. They're perhaps one of the best prepared nations on the face of the earth. They have to be.
Yeah.
But asking about a solar scenario, well, I have a 17-year-old daughter. My God, it will happen. If not in my lifetime, definitely by the time she's 35 or 40.
There's no, the probability will tell you it will happen.
Absolutely. It's how many times are you going to roll the dice before you come up craps?
How long does it take that kind of a pulse to hit us from the sun?
There is the only good news I can give you this evening, sir, because thank goodness it travels slower than the speed of light. Much slower. And realize, this is going on with the sun literally all of the time. But we are a very small moving target, 93 million miles out, moving at such and such a rate around the sun. So we're like a little moving target in a shooting gallery.
This will have to be the perfect storm.
Right. And as you mentioned, several years ago, we had a very close near miss of a major ejected mass. So sooner or later, this little pinball bouncing around out there is going to get hit square on by one.
I think that one went out the side of the sun. We weren't directly in front of it, but it would have been a disaster.
It crossed our orbital path, yes.
Yeah. It'll probably knock me off the air, won't it?
No more coast to coast. I'm sorry. Perhaps forever.
No, don't say that, William. Jeez. Well, we do have generators.
Again, though, the distribution of product.
Who's going to hear me?
Right.
Yeah. And what about satellites? What happens to all of them if they get in the way?
Well,
you know, we're very reliant on satellite systems.
Oh, and, of course, anybody putting a satellite up knows, particularly when you're getting into higher orbits, Van Allen belt and beyond, they've got to be incredibly hardened to withstand solar activity. Now, I'm a subscriber to a satellite television system, and I can remember the event of about 5 or 6 years back where there was concern, could the entire satellite system be knocked out? Now, they have reserves and such, and there was talk about that they might very well shut down for several hours, essentially turn the system sideways, the satellite, so it doesn't have as large an exposed area. Many satellites would survive the situation, but what happens to the ground distribution system? So, okay, the signal can still go, but where is it going to go to?
Right.
If, you know, my HD and everybody's HD, but beyond that, all the other things we're dependent upon is gone.
I guess that's sort of
a grim cartoon. The satellite might be coming, but like one of the old Gam Wilson cartoons, would be a bunch of skeletons sitting there looking at it.
We haven't talked much about the North Koreans and the possibility of what they may be up to. Any concerns there?
Absolutely, yes. And I have a very close friend, and I can't, I don't want to sound cryptic or mystic or anything, but he works with a relief agency. He was in North Korea last year trying to do some negotiating. He was there on the day North Korea did its launch, I believe it was April 4th of last year. He said the one Western hotel he was in, he said it was amazing how many visitors from the Middle East were there. So the communications connection between North Korea and Iran, it's a hotline. And I will revive a statement from years ago. It is an axis of evil. We want to be realistic and face it. They want us dead.
What about the Mayans? What do you think? What do you think of their prophecy?
Well, I'll send I have a close friend of mine who you've interviewed, Bob Gleason, is my editor for my book. And we talk quite a bit about this. And I'll joke and say, well, you know, remember, they're doing this all in stone, and they started running out of space. So they just said, okay, we're just going to end the calendar here. Did they have some sort of insight? I can't say. But it is an amazing coincidence that NASA's report on solar scenarios put up with NOAA said we could be looking at a peak event sometime before the middle of 2013.
What did they know, William, huh?
Maybe.
Well, there's no doubt that one day we will be talking about this. I would hope to God what happens is it's not an X flare, but it's a smaller class flare. And it hits only a certain region of this planet and doesn't wipe us all out. That'll be a wake-up call.
You're reading my mind. That's exactly my hope. All the movies that they've ever put out about asteroids hitting us, you know, amazing how many times it's so like we get a near hit with the weapon or whatever, and only a small chunk hits us. So enough of us survive that we go, oh, dang, well, we better be ready in the future. Yeah, if we hit a situation in which it became more of a localized event, such as the Quebec event of about 20 years ago, but somewhat larger, that would be the wake-up call of, oh, my God, this is not sci-fi stuff. This is dead on real. And that's the problem, is trying to convey EMP is not sci-fi. It is real.
Well, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a wake-up call to get nations to say, my God, we got to do something about this.
Well, you know, my analogy a bit earlier about the crazy neighbor shooting at targets of me. Let's say he's shooting at targets of my other neighbor as well. And one day, a bullet ricochets, at least wings my other neighbor. That finally wakes up the police in the neighborhood. Hey, there's a lunatic loose. But at least somebody was killed.
WorldNet Daily has now jumped on your bandwagon here, talking about EMPs.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that Iran could be the one to be concerned about the most, like you. Is there anybody in high level of government out there, beyond that congressman, for example, who is doing anything about this or trying to?
I hope they're listening. And if so, please call Congressman Roscoe Bartlett in the morning and say you're standing with him on House Bill 2195.
Is he out there all alone?
I will say, I work with Newt Gingrich. Newt and I have written several books together. He is the one, I wouldn't say candidate, let's say, but people do speculate about Newt potentially running.
I was gonna ask you, is he going to run in 2012?
You can check newt.org for that one. Talk about an evade. Newt takes it very seriously. In fact, he was one of the initial inspirations. The conversation with him and the gentleman who did the afterwards for my book, Captain Bill Sanders, who's with the Navy, and coming out of that conversation, they were both urging me, Bill, for heaven's sake, try and write something about this. That's my book, One Second After. But Newt takes it very seriously and lists it as one of our top two or three security threats. But how many people are listening to him?
Wasn't, you know, movies like Ocean's 11, didn't they talk about EMPs or something?
Ah, gosh, thank you. That's like an underhand toss to me. Thank you.
There you go. Run with it.
Yeah, okay. We all know, we've heard of the guy, Bill Nye, the science guy.
Yep.
Bill Nye.
He's been on the program before.
Bill Nye is a great guy. This is like his top issue, and he actually put out a little short 15-minute film that I wish would get broadcast all over the place. It's called how Hollywood gets EMP wrong. And remember in Ocean's 11, well, EMP Vegas. And then what happens? 30 seconds later, the lights come back on.
Right, right.
Wrong. Okay. Broken Arrow. John Travolta. Will we own our vehicle be knocked out by the EMP? No, we just turn the engine off. War of the Worlds. Just change the solenoid in the car. In fact, wonderful lady I'm dating to my daughter. When we go to the movies now, they'll actually say that, don't embarrass us, please. Because when I went and saw War of the Worlds, I made a very large scatological comment that could be heard by the whole audience as to, you can't change the solenoid and it's going to run. That's blank, blank, blank. So what happens is audiences say, oh, yeah, EMP, Ocean's 11. Well, the power came back on 30 seconds later, didn't it?
How high up or how low does that bomb have to be in order to be effective with an EMP once it detonates?
Line of sight event. So, but the higher up you go, your optimum altitude is classified, but we can say it's somewhere between 200 to 250, 270 miles up. As well as 20 miles up, you're going to trigger a Compton effect. 20 miles up, your line of sight is rather significant. 200 miles up, if you did it over Salina, Kansas, you got the entire United States.
Well, yeah, maybe Reagan was right when he wanted that Star Wars defense system.
Dead on right.
Yeah. But you know what? Something tells me maybe we already have that now up there.
We do. We actually do. We have a battery up in Alaska that could very well intercept the North Korean launch. But do recall when North Korea did its test launch last April, a year ago, we could have tracked that far more effectively with a high-frequency X-band system. And the administration ordered that turned off because we didn't want to upset or provoke the North Koreans. We didn't want to upset them.
No.
But we do have a battery in Alaska, another smaller one in California. We need a shield to cover us from all directions.
See, we get little glimpses, William, of what happens on this planet during catastrophes.
Mm-hmm.
You see airports in Europe shut down because of a volcano.
Yeah.
I mean, one day, I'm telling you, you will be on this program. You will be reacting to some kind of EMP pulse. And again, I believe it'll be from the sun as opposed to a military intervention. And I'll be saying, well, it took out that country. We were lucky. When do they get their power back? I guarantee you, you'll be reacting to a story like that.
My nightmare. Welcome to my worst nightmare, sir.
But better at somebody else's country, and we wake up and we look at that and say, you know, maybe we better do something now.
I'll tell you my worst nightmare in terms of the solar is no preparedness, and we have about a 24-hour warning. It's coming straight at us, and this is going to be the big one. And you and I are talking about it. It's like, well, we might have about 2 or 3 hours of airtime left before the system gets overloaded.
And then we go just dead air.
Yes. That is just saying that right now put a chill down my back.
Would government tell us? Think about that. We'll ask you that when we come back. And phone calls with William Forschin on Coast to Coast AM.